are now plugged into Action Features.
What do you got there? Cheese it?
Well,
Meyer brand,
it's like it's Meyer brand. I've never had Meyer brand.
My wife is texting me. She's wondering what we're doing for dinner. I also wonder what we're doing for dinner.
I'll tell you what you're doing for dinner. Meyer brand Cheez-Its.
I'm ruining my dinner right now.
And what'd you get? What'd your mom send as a sweet snack?
She sent me a brownie with like, because she's like, you don't like the ones with the nuts on the top, do you? And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just want to taste the brownie.
Yeah.
So she found the brownies with just like the little tiny chocolate morsels on top.
That was nice.
And then she got you a Boston
cream
pie roll.
Yeah. How'd she know I like Boston cream?
I don't know.
It's magical.
She must have. Maybe you mentioned it on the podcast at one point. I have no idea.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, she got you the Boston cream roll.
I appreciate it.
That was nice of her.
I got to tell you, these are much closer to actual Cheez-Its than the Kroger brand.
Let me have that.
Here you go.
Hi everybody.
Welcome.
Here we are.
Welcome back.
I'm not even gonna try and say the episode number because last time we got it wrong.
Way wrong. Well.
Oh, those are good.
They are good, aren't they?
Those are really good.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either until now.
Man.
Well.
Who knew that?
I don't know. Somebody had to.
Who's told about this? Who's in charge here?
Eckhart, sir.
Oh, God.
Let's go. Yeah.
Speaking of that, we got a ton of great feedback for the Batman
Lots
episodes.
Lots of great feedback.
I think they're, like, that's the most feedback we've had on an episode. Multiple people emailed and the Twitter. David Brown, they gave us that great tweet. That was so nice.
Thank you, David Brown.
Not to exclude anybody else.
Thank you, everybody else.
Something else about the episode. It's just I noticed that last night, so that's fresh in my mind. I just put these two.
So fresh.
It's the freshest. It's wicked fresh.
Speaking of wicked fresh, I've got a dope rhyme for you tonight. Not yet.
See, I thought when you were going to write this rhyme that I was going to have a part as well. But I don't.
That was my original intent.
You left me out. You know I can cut a dope beat.
I know you can cut a dope beat, man.
Well,
I'll tell you what.
We'll never know.
I'll tell you what. Let's see how this one goes, and we'll get something going.
All right.
No, not yet.
I'm
going
to start it now.
I'm not ready yet.
I'm just going to start it right now. I've learned the song, and I've written my own rhyme.
Mm.
I'm going to do it before you get a chance.
Okay.
I'm going to start it now. So tons of people said nice things about the episode. We loved doing those two episodes.
Yeah.
I had a blast doing those two episodes. It was probably my favorite two of the whole show so far. If you didn't listen to our two 1989 Batman/Batman Returns podcasts, those last two episodes, you should really check them out because I think it comes through in the episode that we had a lot of fun doing it.
We did. That was one of the first things, too, that since we started, it was like, okay, we're going to do the Keaton Batman episode.
Yeah,
and
we talked about it for forever.
Yeah,
and we
finally forever.
Did it, and man, I'm glad we did it.
So glad.
So much fun.
So are some other people glad.
Yeah, Dylan Cook, who's on the What the Shell, the Turtles podcast,
yeah,
which is a great podcast. If you love Ninja Turtles, you should listen to that. It's got Chris Vint, Mike Lacy.
I love the Cheapskate.
He sent me a message today saying how much he enjoyed the Batman episodes.
Mm.
He's been a real Batman mood, he said, lately.
With
the Batman Arkham Origins game coming, and he was saying, you guys should maybe think about doing just a Batman podcast, like a separate podcast that's just Batman.
That's interesting.
And I thought it was interesting. I was thinking, you know what? I've been thinking that, you know, maybe we should do a separate cast that's just one continuing theme at some point.
That's interesting.
That we could fit in every once in a while.
That would probably be the one.
That would be the one. There's a lot to talk about with Batman.
Well,
but
if you're into Batman, keep listening, because soon we're going to have an episode based on the animated series.
Yeah.
I can't wait. We're going to have a special guest,
eventually,
too.
Those might be the first few episodes of a continuing Batman podcast.
It could be. Nobody knows.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. That Boston cream roll is fantastic.
Isn't it good? I've had this before.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm just taking my time with it.
You should. Savor that.
Just going to. All right, what do we got?
So today's like a free-for-all episode.
That's right.
So we had to do some catch up. I think it's been, we did the Batman's 2 weeks in a row,
we
took
two weeks
off,
yeah.
And now it's we'll be back on every other week type schedule. But we figure we got a lot of catch up to talk to.
That's
do
right.
Here. There's like, I think there's a little bit of toy news. There's some movie stuff we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Iron Man 3, but I want to save that for the end of the show. That way, if somebody hasn't seen it, because it's going to be filled with spoilers. If somebody hasn't seen it, let's put it at the end of the show so they can turn off the episode.
Good idea.
And then come back to it.
Good idea.
We won't talk about Star Trek Into Darkness at all on this episode.
We haven't seen it.
So it'll save it until the next episode, and then we'll tear into it.
It's true, we haven't seen it.
So let's not even talk about it.
I'm not going to talk about
Let's not talk about it. All right, so you got some stuff. I didn't write anything down.
You didn't?
I wrote down nothing.
All right, first on the list, wet cheese.
Gross.
We hate wet cheese.
Ugh.
You know when it gets wet inside the bag?
It's disgusting.
It's in a bag and it's wet. It gets wet. It gets water on the outside.
It's a gross feeling. It happened to those cubes we had here. We tried to set them out and dry them out, but they sweated and it was gross.
It doesn't work.
And so we also, or not we also, but I also, whenever we have grated cheese at home, you know, we have like a bag of shredded mozzarella or whatever, and it's been in there for a little bit, and I go to cook something, and I put my hand in the bag to take out some mozzarella and put some pizza on there. It's wet in there, and I'm like, oh!
You have to shake it. To shake it out of the bag.
It's disgusting.
Shake it out of the bag.
I hate it.
So gross. It
grosses me out. I hate wet cheese.
I don't like wet cheese either.
Ugh.
I'll tell you what.
No, I'm not talking about a queso or something like that.
No, that's a dip.
That's a dip.
That's
I'm talking about
different.
A cheese that has like a watery film.
Water on
it.
Ugh. Condensation.
Talk about gross, man.
We don't like it.
That's disgusting.
Hmm?
Ugh. All right, well, there was that.
Okay.
Burger King has a new rib sandwich to compete with the McRib.
It's about time. How long did it take them for that?
They're getting on it now,
30
man.
Years?
They're getting on it.
Every time the McRib sandwich comes out, Burger King sales go down. They can't figure out why.
What are we doing over here? But they're doing it in an alternate time. They're doing it in the summer instead of in the winter, which is what McDonald's does it during. My buddy Charles is having one tonight.
I like how you know that he's going to have one tonight.
He sent a picture of it to me. You want to show? I'll show you the picture. Well, this is an important thing to us. The McRib is a huge thing. We both get really excited when it's McRib.
Guess what? The McRib sandwich is coming back, and guess who ain't getting one? That's from Dave Chappelle.
That's from Dave Chappelle. There it is. He took a picture of it and sent it to me.
Oh, looks good.
I know
good.
You don't care.
Well, it looks good. Looks good.
But he already ate it. My bad. He says that it's good.
Okay.
And the sauce is a lot sweeter than the McRib sauce. McRib sauce is tangy.
This is
more sweet.
I prefer the tangy, I think.
I do too. But I'm still going to give it a shot because it's like having a McRib when you're not supposed to have a McRib.
It's extra.
It's the summer. So I can't wait to eat one of those. I think me and Matt are going to get them tomorrow. It's like a Memorial Day weekend type thing.
I hope so.
I think we're going to do it.
I hope so.
So there's that. A lot of, you know, fast food places are trying to introduce new foods. You know,
yes they are. That is true, they are.
I was reading somewhere that the Doritos Locos Tacos at Taco Bell are like the most successful fast food introduction of the 21st century so far.
Are you serious?
Which we're not that far into.
What's
it.
What's a Locos Tacos?
Doritos Locos Tacos.
Oh, the Doritos, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't realize they were that popular. I guess they sold tons of them already. Tons of them. So
they should keep them.
Man, that's crazy.
Well,
some guy in prison is trying to sue Taco Bell, saying it was his idea, the Doritos. Taco
come on,
Bell.
Man!
Come on, dude!
You think they have bugs in prison?
You're silly.
They're trying to listen for ideas in prison.
You're being silly right now.
That's stupid.
What else you got?
Well,
Rambo
First Blood. This is toy news.
Oh yeah, I figure it looks great.
The first blood.
Two versions.
Two versions of the Rambo character are coming out from NECA from the first movie, First Blood. They're going in chronological order, as far as I know. They'll be releasing them.
Yeah. And I mean, you mean by movie, but not by how he appears
correct,
in the movie.
Correct.
Okay, I got you.
So, to me, finally, this franchise is getting a treatment it deserves in toys. It's never really had it. They use the cartoon as an excuse to. Which I thought was awesome. I love the Coleco figures.
Oh yeah, you get one that's kind of in the sort of gray.
Yeah, he's
sleeveless jersey.
That was obviously a throwback to the First Blood movie, and those figures look like Stallone, even though in the cartoon, you know, so they did well. And Troutman looks just like
the head sculpt on that one's great.
Yeah, but anyway, NECA's doing them, and they look great. James and I are both stoked, and that'll probably be my the first action figure that I've.
It's been a while.
In a long time.
In a long, long time.
Yeah.
I've trimmed back a lot, too. I don't really nearly buy. I kept being tempted by that Dutch. And we were both saying it's.
You know,
seeing those two. There's some guy. I can't remember who it was, but somebody on Facebook posted the two of them together, like Contra, the Rambo and Dutch together. And it makes me want the Dutch. Even if I don't have a Predator, I just want Dutch. You know?
I have a Predator. And I've wanted Dutch forever. I just. $15, $16. I don't know. It's hard. It's harder these days to do.
Sometimes you got
to
let go.
Sometimes you got to let go. You just got to
do it.
Okay.
You know?
Feet first. I'm jumping in. I'm going to go buy this toy.
I'm going to get it.
I'm going to set it somewhere. Put it on a shelf.
You got to get that Rambo.
I'm getting the Rambo.
We were both saying, too, that it's good that it didn't happen until now, because NECA's really hit their stride.
Oh, they're
doing great stuff
right
now. They're doing great stuff.
Fantastic.
That had come out, you know, 5 years ago from NECA? It looked like junk. Remember those, I need a napkin. Hang on, I'm going to grab a napkin.
Oh, great.
Keep talking.
Okay, so anyway, I was at the grocery store the other day, and I got in this fight with this guy. I was in the parking lot, and he said, "Hey, man, you got a quarter? We borrow a quarter." I said, "Yeah, I've got a quarter."
All right, well, I'm back.
Okay, welcome back.
Okay, that's better. Remember those N2?
Mm-hmm.
Those N2 Rambo figures?
I have one. They were rough.
They were rough.
I like what they were trying to do. They tried to get all the tough guy movies. They had some Steven Seagal, Above the Law. They did a figure.
Yeah.
They actually did a Steve McQueen
right.
from Bullet. But none of them were any good.
No, they weren't very good. But they were trying.
And when they got to Mad Max...
Those figures were good. I liked those figures.
Part of the problem was they were trying to compete with McFarlane at the time with the statue type.
With the stances.
The static poses.
And they didn't do that as much with the Mad Maxes. They made them poseable.
That's right.
By now, my wife has turned off the show.
I understand.
She doesn't really watch it that or listen to it anymore.
I understand.
Blaze has been mad.
Why is he mad?
Because he couldn't listen to the last two.
What? Oh, because
he hasn't seen it yet. Well, next month's the month, man.
Oh, I can't wait.
He's going to finally see the 1989 Batman.
I can't wait.
In case anybody on the podcast doesn't know, I'm waiting until Blaze is the same age I was when I saw it. Because it's like the perfect age to see that movie. Not just so I could say, oh, we're at the same age when we see it. But I really think it's like a really good age to see it at.
A level of understanding.
Exactly. And I didn't want it to be like a lot of the other films that he watched as a kid. You know, Star Wars he saw a bunch of times and... I don't know, just various movies. Indiana Jones, you've seen a few times. It's like he's seen them a bunch of times, so it's kind of like you can't remember the first time you saw it, and it's not really an experience. It's kind of, I've seen all that, and I don't know. When you see things a bunch of times as a kid...
He's looking forward to it.
Exactly. It's kind of, I try to build it up, so he gets to see it next month, and he'll finally get to listen to the past two episodes.
I have had twice this week a Boston Cream something. This right now, and Mary bought me... some Boston cream.
That's right.
Bavarian cream donuts with powdered sugar on the outside, which are hard to find.
Barbarian
cream, so thanks, Mary, for that.
So yeah, he's been upset. Hasn't been able to listen to it lately.
Sorry,
buddy. He wrote us a letter today, but he didn't get to finish it.
You'll love it. You'll love it when you finally, you'll go back and listen to it.
Yeah,
he'll
like those.
You'll understand.
Yep.
That was so good.
All right.
I'm sorry.
You finished that. My mom, when she dropped these off, she was like, she's got a droid. She listens to the podcast on the droid.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why she hadn't mentioned anything about it lately. Turns out there's been something wrong with her droid. So she's been trying to listen to the podcast, but
What are you talking about?
She's got a phone called a droid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she's got a droid. She's got R2-D2.
This is some sort of Star Wars joke that you're telling.
Yeah. Her R2 unit has a bad motivator.
I thought that it did
and
have
so
a bad motivator.
And so she can't listen to the podcast. Oh. But she hasn't been able to listen to it because her droid's been messing up.
Oh, I thought and that she had just stopped listening.
No, she hadn't.
Not intentionally.
Well,
good
for
her. She
asked if I could fix her phone so she could start listening to it again. So I got to look at her phone this weekend so that we can have back one of our five listeners on a regular basis. All right, what else you got? This episode's...
We're blasting through it.
Hey, yeah, two good ones in a row. What do you expect?
Yeah, you saw Jack Reacher.
I did, and I liked it a lot.
Which has been released on DVD, so I'm recommending people to go pick it up or rent it or whatever.
I had no idea it'd be that good.
Right.
I knew you liked it.
It's kind of a surprise. I try not to hype it too much because I didn't know.
It was great.
It was all I could think about for a couple weeks after I saw it. I was like, wow.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It felt like one of those 80s action-type films that actually had a good plot attached to it, like a Die Hard or something like that.
It felt to me like a 60s...
It was
like,
really good.
Like it had modern action, like the fight scenes and everything, but it reminded me a lot of Bullet.
I liked it a lot. I'm really glad that you brought it in and had me watch it.
That's good.
All right, what else you got? You got anything else on there?
Rap song.
Okay, you want
to
play this?
That's the only thing.
I want to play this.
I can do that. I can get it out of the way. But you put your microphone up to the...
Hold it?
No, you don't... Well, you hold it if you want
there
to,
you go.
But...
Oh.
make sure you crank that beat, yo.
And how's everyone feeling tonight?
Was it... When we first... Sometime around the time we first started, I had mentioned...
I don't know how loud it's going to be.
I don't either. We'll have to... I've got like a minute into the song. We have to let the song go for like a minute, so go ahead and turn it on. The
now? While you're still talking?
Well, hold on a second.
You just said now.
For a minute. I don't know if I can finish what I have to say in a minute. I had let it slip out that that I used to be in a front man in a group. We sounded like Rage Against the Machine a lot, actually. But I've been rapping since I was like a little kid. Thanks, Mom. It's my mom's fault. Listening to Grandmaster
Your
Flash.
Your mom is a dope rapper.
Yeah, I was like 3 or 4 years old listening to Grandmaster Flash, and I knew the words and stuff. Anyway, so somebody had written, I don't remember who it was now, and asked for either links to the songs or a sampling of some me kicking some rhymes. So finally I got around to it, and I haven't written anything in a long time, so whatever. But anyway, whatever. I wrote this little thing. Okay, you play it. You can play it now.
Hey, you know what's going on right now?
What's happening?
You're like the Fresh Prince.
You're DJ Jazzy
Jeff.
Jazzy
Jeff.
Okay.
All right.
When he gets thrown out of the house all the time.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Tell him it's too loud.
Okay. Let's see. I have no idea. Let's see. It's not too loud to me. I don't know how it's picking up. Yeah. You turn it up just a little. Oh, no, that's good.
It sounds pretty good.
I can't tell. I think that's good. James, do you like dope beats?
I do like dope beats.
I thought maybe you did. Do you like fresh rhymes?
I do like fresh rhymes.
Okay. Can you see the time on the thing? Oh, you can't see it. All right.
There's no time on it.
There's no time. You can't see it. Well, do you like dope beats?
I do like dope beats. I just spent a moment ago.
Oh. Okay. I think it's.
This is going well.
There's something weird in the beat that was throwing me off, so I had to wait. All right. I'm gonna do it. I swear.
This is going great. What a great segment.
Don't make me laugh. All right, here it comes. Are you ready?
I think everybody's ready.
Action Features fans, put your hands together for the ever clever co-host of the show that boasts variety. Most keep an eye on me, I'm fast roasted slowpoke, stepping on the toes of those whoopos, I suppose. So go to other shows, that's a no-no. Guaranteed the flows are only so-so, and those flows have no hope. What's who you gonna tell when you get pincho? The tabe, nobody, no one else would understand your cape. Even on an off day, when James and I get sloppy, we still have a blast, cause to us it's just a hobby. If it's okay with Bobby, James can hang his Catwoman poster up. If not, the action figure will be close enough. I love it when listeners will tell us what they hoping for. Posting stuff to get the conversation blowing up. They listen in when Jim is quick with the quips. They listen in to see what Mike is gonna throw in the mix. And sometimes they listen for that top 5 list. If it's offline or not live, it's not mine or his. Fitting kids like a bird is as absurd as it gets. But these two nerds just had to have some words about this. Every other week you can turn in for the... Oh, shoot! See, I wrote this all funny.
It was going well.
It was going well. Every other... Okay. Yeah. Every other week you can tune in for the Fix Action Features podcast. Ask your friends if they've heard of it. And that's it. You can stop.
Man, it was so close.
It was so close.
You almost made it all the way through.
You know what's funny is I get nervous sometimes.
Yeah. Well,
like, I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah.
In front of anybody. I used to do it all the time in shows, and you start getting like not...
Yeah.
It's fine, but... And then I wrote... And all this stuff is crammed down here in the end.
Why didn't you use a second sheet? That's a whole notebook you've got there.
I could have done that. I had it memorized. I was doing it in the car completely.
But then you need to if you're gonna
right. But then
pick
you
one that fast.
But then you get on the you get yeah. you get going on the show and you're like, yep. Oh, the nerves.
Hey,
the
not
nerves.
Bad.
Thanks, buddy.
You made it almost all the way through.
I made it almost all the way through.
Almost all the way.
Now that
next
now that I broke the ice, I could probably get through it.
Next time.
Fine.
Yeah.
Next time. We'll write something else. So anyway,
did you have my part on there? Because you said before that you were gonna write.
Yeah, it was on here. It got lost. Right. Actually, the page got lost. Yeah. So,
hey man, that was pretty good.
Well,
good job.
Thanks, buddy. It was okay.
That was nice.
Did you catch that part about your Catwoman poster? I saw you laugh.
I laughed. I tried not to laugh.
You tried not
to mess you up.
I saw you.
I also tried not to look at you.
I saw you laughing
because I don't want to mess you up.
It's different stuff when somebody else is gonna make you laugh. Or I'm trying not to let you make me laugh.
Yeah. I looked away.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So that's it.
You said I was quick with the quips, too.
You're quick with the quips.
I liked it.
I know.
I liked it. That was complimentary towards me.
I tried to make it.
You should do a whole other rap that's just about me.
Just about you?
Just nice stuff about me. Just nice stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah. Just, that was good.
Just nice stuff.
Where are we at? What time are we at?
Thanks. Well, that brings us to 20 minutes of the show.
Hey, wow, this is going to be a short one.
That's okay. We've had a couple
long
ones.
You got anything else to talk about right now?
You don't have anything?
I have Iron Man 3.
That's going to take a while. That's okay, because I'm gonna get in the salsa con queso.
Okay.
Well,
I'll just make sure we covered everything, because if somebody's going to turn us off now that hasn't seen Iron Man 3...
Let's make sure we've covered everything.
We cover everything.
Let's see.
Is there any comic book... Oh,
See, Meyer Brand Cheez-Its, rap song, Boston Cream.
Was there any... There was another new... No food items?
Jack Reacher.
No food items. No thank yous to anybody.
David Brown.
Oh. Here we go.
I think that's it.
I suppose that's it. I'm starting to look forward to the Superman Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Last trailer was really good.
Yeah, the last trailer made...
Actually, the last two trailers were really good. Wolverine, I want to talk about that. The Wolverine trailer.
Let's talk about the Wolverine.
Okay. That trailer is really good up until you get to the point of the giant silver samurai. Why?
I'm telling you, man. Hollywood is stuck on that. They're stuck on the giant CG thing at the end.
I just wanted like a straight up redo of that miniseries. A good samurai type story for Wolverine.
No.
I don't need a giant robot silver samurai. If that's what that is, and it seems like it would have to be a giant robot.
It is silver.
It's silver.
And it is a samurai robot.
See,
so
Silver Samurai is a dude.
Uh-huh.
It's not a robot. I don't want a giant robot.
I don't either.
I wanted this one to be more like, I don't know. I hate to say realistic because it's a Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
And I don't like realistic comic book films. But I just wanted one that was more grounded.
It seemed like it was more grounded,
you know?
And from the earlier trailers. Because it's just Logan and he's in...
Yeah.
He's in Japan. He's going to fight some dudes.
Samurais?
That's it.
They made his healing factor weaker. That's going to be enough. That'll be cool, because then, like, regular samurai dudes and Silver Samurai and things like that. I want Silver Samurai to be like Silver Samurai and not a giant robot. Come on, guys. So now I'm worried again about it. I was excited, now I'm worried again.
See, there's no telling what they're going to do with these kinds of properties.
You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. Is that everything?
It's everything.
Iron Man 3.
Well, here it goes.
If you have not seen Iron Man 3...
Turn it off.
Turn off the podcast. If you thoroughly enjoy Iron Man 3 and don't like listening to people that didn't enjoy Iron Man 3, turn off the podcast. If you don't like hearing somebody just rant for like 10 minutes straight about a movie, turn off the podcast. Because I hated... Iron Man 3.
Here we go. It's going to cover the bases.
This is the worst film of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I would put it on par with Spider-Man 3. I might even say Spider-Man 3 is better than this film. Because there's at least some things in Spider-Man 3 that I can enjoy.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some turd scenes.
Of course.
But I don't really think of, other than Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, I can't think of anything I really liked in this movie.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, I did like the kid. There's a kid in the film, and usually that's the kiss of the death from the movie.
Usually.
On the cards and in some trailers and stuff, I would see this kid, and I'm like, oh, it's going to have a kid in it. I'm going to hate that. The kid was one of the only things I enjoyed. The kid was funny.
That's bad.
That's real bad. Okay, so the movie starts off with the fact that Tony was a jerk, you know, and he's got this interaction with Killian, Adrich Killian or whatever at the beginning, and it's a very Jim Carrey Riddler type moment. That's what it feels like Guy Pearce is doing, an impersonation of Jim Carrey as the Riddler, or as Edward Nygma from the beginning of Batman Forever, where he's like, oh, Bruce Wayne. Actually, that's my name. So it feels like that to begin with. And so he does something mean to him, basically, and yada, yada, yada. So this all is taking place after Avengers, and Tony's just been building suit after suit after suit, and he's going through this post-traumatic stress disorder.
He's going through changes.
I did like that, the post-traumatic stress disorder thing you would have. You have anxiety attacks and such. But, you know, he's building all these armors, and it seems like these armors aren't very good. None of them are as good as the Mark 7 was.
He's just throwing them out.
And he's still flying around in the Mark 7. It opens up with him training these. He's got this new armor that flies to him in pieces, but it doesn't work very well. Okay, at the end of Avengers with the Mark 7, he had it come to him. He had the bracelets on, and it flew to him as one piece and came all around him, and it worked great. Okay, so now you're going to make that technology worse by making it come to you in pieces. That doesn't really work.
They didn't talk about that?
No. It comes to him in pieces and can fly to him anywhere or whatever. But we never really learned if the Mark 7 could fly to him anywhere. It seemed like it could because it just found the bracelets, right?
Yeah.
So, but now he's got these implants in his arm, and now it can fly to him anywhere in pieces, but it doesn't work very well. And it has no flight capabilities to start with, and it's all these other things. It's like a prototype or whatever. But for some reason, he's got it walking around all the time and doing all this stuff. There's so many things that I want to complain about, and I'm having trouble keeping in my head what order I want to complain in.
Mm.
You know, that's how much I want to complain and how much I did not like this movie. So I'll try and hit everything. I should have made myself a chart.
You should have
made like a pie chart.
You should have made a pie.
I should have made a pie.
And brought it in.
And brought that in.
I'm hungry right now. I'm sorry for the listeners. I just keep eating.
Just do it. You haven't seen Iron Man 3.
I'm trying to eat soft stuff.
Okay, so he's making all these armors, and it seems like they're all not as good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's all these armors in this movie just to sell toys or something like that. Because there's tons of armors he made. You don't really get to see much of them do anything. And when they do finally have the armors in the movie, they're pieces of crap. They get torn through like they're nothing. Right? So he's working on this armor, and it's not very good. And then the Mandarin's showing up and doing all this, some people call me a terrorist. I consider myself a teacher. And he's cool. He's doing all these videos, mm-hmm. right?
He's doing video games.
Oh, he's a terrorist, you know, and he's talking against America, and he's blowing up places and all these different things. So Happy Hogan gets hurt, right? And yeah, Mike hasn't seen the movie, and I'm ruining it for him. I've already ruined it for him once.
It's fine.
That's because I'm a good friend. I ruined it for him the first day I saw it. I came in and said, you know what?
You did.
I'm telling you everything that happened in this movie because I'm your friend, and I don't want you to see it. This is an intervention. I knew we were both looking forward to it, and you shouldn't go see it.
That's what happened.
So the Mandarin's doing all these things, you know, and so Tony gets mad and he gives him his home address. He says, you want to come find me? Come find me. Here's my home address.
No, he doesn't know where. He can't find Tony Stark?
I don't know.
The richest man, most successful.
But he gives out his address.
Okay.
If you're going to tell this terrorist that you're at home address, wouldn't you have some kind of defenses going?
He's got a big tower. It says Stark Industries.
He's not there. He's at his beach house.
Oh, okay.
Right? Okay. But wouldn't you have some kind of defenses? You have 42 Iron Man armors, and they all like work on their own through Jarvis technology now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll touch on that a little more in a minute here.
Mm.
But yet when the guy, of course the Mandarin shows up to blow up his house,
yeah.
right? Nothing stops him. There's no defenses. He just blows up the house. But thankfully, Tony's got his Mark 42 that can fly to him in pieces.
Okay.
Right? So he commands it to go onto Pepper by doing this weird Power Rangers move.
I don't like that.
And it flies onto Pepper.
I don't like it.
And then she's saved. And then this other girl that's there, she gets saved. And I won't even say her name.
There's another girl there?
There's another girl that's Tony. The inventor of the Extremis.
Tony.
And she's there as just a plot device, but it makes no sense.
Okay.
She somehow works with Killian, but then she's supposed to get Tony to join Killian because they think that Tony can fix Extremis. Okay, I'm going to talk about that now. I'm just going to keep jumping all over the place.
Do it.
Okay. Killian has Extremis, right? And it's this thing you put into your body, and it makes your body into sort of a weapon almost. It makes it like super powerful, and you get like super hot hands in the movie.
Killian Murphy has it.
It's kind of different than Extremis in the comic book it was, right? The problem is that sometimes people blow up.
Okay? That's a minor problem,
but he uses it as a weapon.
Okay.
Right? He sends these guys out, and they blow up. Right? They're like living bombs or whatever.
That's like an expensive bomb.
Yeah. So if your plan is to somehow take over the world using this technology, and you're going to put the vice president in as the president because you got the vice president in your back pocket, you make a list of people that you want to get involved in your plan. Why would you put the smartest Avenger at the top of that list? Why would you want Tony Stark involved in this in any way, shape, or form? Extremis seems like it's working pretty good for the plan right now.
It's doing everything you need it
to. You're blowing up guys that you need to blow up. It works great for you, as we see at the end of the movie. Killian's just tearing through everything. So why would you go to Tony Stark and somehow get him involved? Why would you even let on that there's anything about it? Just be quiet.
Just keep doing your thing.
Just keep doing your thing. Keep doing your little fake Mandarin thing and all this stuff. Get the vice president to become the president.
This is
all in the power
position.
Also
assassinate the president, right?
That's part of the convoluted plot.
Huh.
He's got the vice president in his back pocket because the vice president's daughter is in a wheelchair. And so they're going to somehow use Extremis to make her better. And so the vice president is in with Killian, and they're going to get rid of the president and put the vice president as president, and now that president's going to be in Killian's back pocket. Okay. So Killian will have control of the world, basically, because he'll have his Mandarin terrorist thing going, and he'll have this going. And somehow the 10 rings from the other two movies are involved in this, that Killian set them up somehow.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. But the point is that Extremis is working fine for that plan. You don't need to bring Tony into it. You don't need to go to Pepper Potts and tell her about this and get Tony Stark's Stark Industries involved and all that stuff.
I would go to Pepper Potts, though.
Well, that's fine. But it's ridiculous. There'd be no reason to involve him. So the whole movie, right off the bat, makes no sense. Because you're involving Tony Stark in a plan that you don't need to involve him in. And the whole thing falls apart because you involved Tony Stark in it. Stupid.
Stupid.
For this guy to be so smart, why is he so stupid?
He's not smart.
So anyway, back to the whole Mark 42 is terrible. So the Mark 42 flies onto him finally. And he, I can't do much with it. Oh, I can't even fly. And so then it like flies him off to this place that he was going to fly off to because he's trying to track down something. I'm having trouble even remembering parts of the plot because I didn't like the movie. And after a while, if you don't like a movie and a plot doesn't make that much sense, you just start forgetting about it and you just block it away.
You did right.
But I'm just trying to remember all the things that I really, really didn't like, okay? So the Mark 42, he shows up, and the Mark 42 is a piece of crap, right?
Okay.
It constantly is falling apart, and it's running out of power, and it's doing things it shouldn't do.
That's the one I would use.
Yeah, that's, of course, the best one you can use. Instead of, you know, maybe using one of the ones that does work, let's just use that piece of crap. Okay, so he lands in this place in this town, and he's talking to this little... That's where he meets the kid, and the kid's funny, okay?
Okay.
And so he's having the kid help him get the armor powered back up. And he gives the kid this thing and said, oh, I know about the bully you have at school. Here's this thing. You just zap him with this, and you're going to be just fine. Okay? And so the Extremis guys show up, of course, and there's this big fight. And one of the Extremis guys got the kid. And so, of course, he says, remember what I told you about bullies? Cueing you into that thing that you may have forgot about that we foreshadowed before. And so he hits the guy in the face with this, and it, like, knocks the guy across the like, 50 feet or something. Okay, if he'd have used that on a kid at school, that kid's head would have blown up. Because this guy is powered by Extremis that we've just seen as, like, this super powerful stuff. And this kid just zaps this guy in the face with it.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then, of course, he finds out where the Mandarin is. And I'm skipping parts here and there.
Okay? He finds out where the Mandarin oranges are.
He finds out where the Mandarin oranges are.
They're in season at Meyer.
So you're Tony Stark, and you're going to get to the Mandarin's place. You're going to drive off in your car and go there. Would you, A, go and pick up one of your other 41 or 42 suits, however many you got stashed away, that do work to go assault the Mandarin? Or B, go to Home Depot and come up with a MacGyver scheme to make your own stuff to go in there and fight him? I'm going to guess you'd choose A, because it makes sense to go get one of your armors to go into Mandarin's place. But no, he chooses B. He'll just keep letting the 42 charge and go do a MacGyver act to get in there and get the Mandarin.
He built a good robot Bill and Ted.
Yeah, station.
Station. To help him.
So he gets in there, okay? And that's when we get the big reveal about the Mandarin. And that is that the Mandarin is an actor. That he's a druggy, alcoholic actor that gets hired by Killian to play the role of Mandarin. He's like Ringo Starr. Hey, man, I'm sorry. It's just a role, man. Which, to me, was the biggest slap in the face a comic fan has ever gotten in a movie. When you take the main villain, the most known villain from Iron Man, the one we've asked for since the first movie, the one you've teased since the first movie, and you turn him into a joke, that is a huge slap in the face. That's like if you're watching a Batman movie, and Joker doesn't show up to the third movie, and you find out he's just some guy with face paint on that's been hired by the Penguin to act like a Joker.
That
would be an amazing slap in the face. I was so disgusted by that scene. And how little care they showed to the longtime Iron Man comic fans that I almost just shut down right then. We were at the drive-in, and I almost just got in the front seat and just like looked at my phone the rest of the time. I was so disappointed. So after that monstrosity happens, they, of course, have him kidnapped, and he's captured now or whatever. I don't even remember when this happens. Meanwhile, the totally useless Iron Patriot has his storyline going on. Mm. They've taken the War Machine armor, and they've painted it like Iron Patriot, and somehow AIM, which is Killian's group, has been the ones to do all the rehauls, or the overhauls on the Iron War Machine armor, which makes no sense whatsoever. Why in the world would Tony Stark not be the one that does the overhaul on the War Machine armor? Instead, they have AIM do it. It was his armor in the first place. Wouldn't he be the one that works on it? Wouldn't he say, hey, I don't want anybody else looking at my armor. I'll be the one to work on it. AIM's not going to be the one to work on it. And right. I think Rhodey would agree to that. He would say, yeah, we don't want... I know that they tweaked it in the last one, but that was because Tony was having problems.
Right.
They would have Stark Industries work on it. They wouldn't have AIM work on it. But of course, it's a plot device so that AIM can get their mitts into the Iron Patriot armor. So he shows up one time, and it's the wrong place. And then he shows up another time to find the Mandarin, and it's a bunch of women. And he's like, oh, I guess I just saved these ladies somehow. One gets up to shake his hand, and of course she's an Extremis agent, and her heated up hand somehow shuts down the Iron Patriot armor. And he's just like, oh, falls on the ground. So then they take him off to the Killian's camp. They've got him chained up, and his armor can't do anything because it's controlled by AIM. Oh, and by the way, Tony had kind of warned him and said, oh, was your armor controlled by AIM? And he uses it to find the AIM headquarters somehow by tracing it back. But at no point does he tell Rhodey, hey, you know what? AIM is a bad group. You might not want to fly around in the Iron Patriot armor. You may want to go to my place and pick up one of my armors and use it instead.
I have several.
No, I'll just keep letting you use the armor that I know is controlled by the villains. That's cool. So he's chained up, and Killian heats up his hand and makes his tummy hot, so he falls out of his armor. Which, there must be some kind of secret hatch that if you warm up his belly, it's an escape hatch, and his body falls out. So then that's when the really smart plan happens. Okay? They're going to take one of Killian's extremist guys and put him in the Iron Patriot suit so that he shows up at Air Force One and he salutes the president. Nobody bothers to check who's inside the armor or if he has any kind of clearance whatsoever. Oh, and of course, just anybody can use armors. It's not a big deal.
Oh, no big deal.
So he goes on in and they're on the plane and oh, all of a sudden, Iron Patriot's turning on the president. Oh, what's going on here? So then, you know, Stark's heading off, or at least you think it's Stark, is flying off in his Mark 42 armor, because he and Rhodey are now together because they were both captured in the same place or something.
Oh.
So you think that, oh, finally, he's doing something Iron Man. This is going to be great. Oh, Iron Man's going to save the day. He's going to save all the people on the plane. You see Iron Patriot fly off, and you get on the plane, and the extremist guy that was inside the Iron Patriot suit's on the plane. What's he doing on the plane? I thought he flew off of here. What's going on? This must be some kind of crazy plot device. So he, like, destroys that extremist guy on the plane, and he has to save all these people, and it keeps showing him inside his HUD and going, oh, no, how am I going to save all these people? Oh, boy, this is going to be rough, and all these different things. So he saves all the people, and then you cut to Tony again, and he's just in a dark room with this HUD thing on his head, and Rhodey opens the door and says, everything okay, Tony? Yep, I saved them all by remote, controlling his suit by remote. So the one time you think that Iron Man's doing something cool in the movie... No, it's just like an artificial intelligence controlling the Iron Man armor, which is awesome. So Tony Stark doesn't even need to be Iron Man. He can just go sit in a room somewhere and have all his suits go be Iron Man for him.
Yep.
Why not? They seem to be doing a better job.
Why not?
Back to the Iron Patriot flying away from the plane. Bet you can't guess who's in the Iron Patriot suit.
The president.
You got it. Because it wouldn't make any sense just to kill him on the plane. It makes way more sense.
Like I said, just push him out.
Yeah,
just push him out of the plane.
No. It makes way more sense to leave one of your extremist lieutenants on the plane, have the president go inside the armor, fly him to another place where you can kill him there. That way you've sacrificed one of your guys, you've somehow involved yourself in the plot, whereas you could just blame Iron Patriot for the whole thing. No, we'll do it this way. That sounds good. We'll fly him somewhere else to kill him. So they've got him chained up in the Iron Patriot armor, and he's not able to move for some reason. I guess he can't control it,
He
right?
can't control the armors.
So Tony and Rhodey show up on their
moped,
journey of being
on their moped.
MacGyver-y type guys.
With the good Bill and Ted robots.
Good Bill and Ted robots. And so finally Tony comes up with the idea, hey, I'll call for backup and have all my suits come here by remote. Which he could have done about, like, I don't know, half an hour ago? When he was going through Mandarin's place and all that stuff?
Right.
So the armors show up, and they're just getting torn apart by extremist dudes. Oh, meanwhile, Pepper's been kidnapped by Killian and injected with extremists so that Tony will work on extremists still, which still boggles my mind. Extremists is working fine for you.
It's doing everything that you want it to
do. You're doing great, man. You're tearing it up. So she gets injected with it, and, you know, there's a chance she's going to be fine and have superpowers and not blow up. But let's just inject it with it anyway, with her. So the big fight happens, and all the armors are getting beat by extremist guys, and they're killing extremist guys, and these guys are fighting these guys, and Tony's got to fight Killian, right? And by this time, it's made quite apparent that the Mandarin that we knew was an actor. Oh, and we talked to him a second time, and he, for some reason, he knows the whole plan of the bad guys. If he's just an actor, why do they keep telling him all the plans?
They tell him everything.
They tell him everything. It's not involved in his little videos he cuts, but they're telling him everything.
Listen,
Tony goes to him twice for information. Even after the first time that he's been discovered, everybody believes him. Oh, I didn't tell him anything. Oh, okay. Well, let's keep telling him stuff so that he can tell Tony. So, by that time, we all are well aware that the Mandarin is fake and is created by Killian. So Killian's fighting Tony, and Tony keeps having him send suits on because the suits are getting torn apart by Killian. I guess at no point in all his 42 armors did he think, maybe I should make one that's resistant to high heats. I'll make one that's super strong and that's got giant claw hands to rescue people or something, and I'll make a black one, and I'll make a silver centurion, and I'll do other things, but I won't make any that are heat resistant. Because that's what everybody keeps saying when I say, why was Killian able to tear through so many armors so fast? Does that mean he's stronger than Thor? Because the Mark VI held its own against Thor in a fight. So Killian, who tore through like three armors like they were tissue paper, must be stronger than Thor. No. It's because he had a high heat. The high heat couldn't, the armors couldn't resist the heat.
Can he go through the atmosphere?
That's what I thought.
That's pretty hot.
Even then, in all those 42 armors, he never thought, I'll do one that's super heat resistant. He never thought of that.
Yeah, I guess
really?
He didn't.
Seriously? Okay, so that makes no sense whatsoever. But anyway, he's fighting him, and he's going through all the armors and tearing through them all. And he tells him, I'm the Mandarin. I created him. I'm the Mandarin. Dude, we knew that like 45 minutes ago. I don't know what the speech is all about, but we all knew that like 45 minutes ago. If this was the big reveal, that's great that you're making a speech. But we all knew it 45 minutes ago. It's been hammered home.
Right.
This is insult to injury at this point.
Lame.
So finally the 42 shows up.
So lame.
A piece of junk armor is finally back, and he's like, oh, it's here. And instead of this heroic moment with the 42, it crashes and falls into pieces. Well, slapstick humor at its best. And you think Pepper died when she fell in this fire pit, but nope, she comes back because she's got Extremis now. So she's there to save the day.
Does she fly?
She does a flying punch, because I guess Extremis gives you Street Fighter abilities, too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes you able to fight like Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So she's there to save the day. She beats up Killian and throws a bomb at him or something and blows him up. And then, oh no, one of the armors is going to attack Pepper because it recognizes a signature. Honey, no! But she does that flying jump punch and destroys his armor, so it's no big deal. And so you're thinking, okay, at any point, is Iron Man going to save the day at any stage in this film? Will Iron Man, like Tony Stark as Iron Man, do anything cool at all?
You're wondering.
No, he goes ahead and just blows up all his armors.
Yep, and that's it.
Honey, I'm giving it up. I'm blowing up all these armors. Blows them all up, gets the Extremis out of Pepper, has the arc reactor taken out of his chest, throws it in the water. I'm still Iron Man. No, you're not.
No, you just gave up Iron Man.
You blew up all your Iron Man suits and threw out your arc reactor. You're not Iron Man. And you know what? You weren't Iron Man this entire movie. The only Iron Man that was cool was when Jarvis was controlling it. That's the only Iron Man that ruled.
Hold on a second. I want to go back to him taking out the arc reactor because the whole thing in the last... What? I never saw the second movie all the way through, but the whole thing with the arc reactor was keeping the shrapnel from getting into his heart. It was saving his life.
Yep.
But now it's not a big deal. Just go ahead and have the surgery done. Eh.
Even in Avengers, he mentions it. He taps on it, and he's
right.
Like, this little bit of light, it keeps that shrapnel's inching its way to my heart.
Right.
This thing keeps me alive.
Right. All along, no big deal.
Just take it out. It's not a big deal. Just get that out of there.
That kind of surgery can be done over the weekend.
Yeah. No big deal.
Remember that from Ace Ventura?
I do.
Yeah.
I do remember
okay.
that. Another thing I want to mention, too, is a lot of people have made the point that, okay, well, he's at his wit's end, and he's... You know, he's been working nonstop on these building these armors. Of course, they're not going to be as good as the other ones. Okay, wait a second. They're not even as good as the Mark I. And he made that in a cave.
A cave!
With a bunch of parts.
With spare parts.
With a box of scraps! You don't think that was a more high-stretch situation than his anxiety attacks or whatever and all those things? Yet he did just fine on that armor. It seems like it did a lot better than any of the other armors.
He did great. Didn't fly very
well. I'm sorry. I'm sorry this is all negative and it was a rant.
Well,
but I really was disappointed.
I had fun.
Incredibly disappointed in that movie. I really don't understand how it's getting the embracement that it's getting from some of the fan community. Because to me, it was really just filled with plot holes. And it took characters that meant a lot in the comic and deserved better than what they did and made them into jokes. It was just... I thought it was subpar. The only shining things... Or Stark is, or Downey is always funny as Stark.
Yeah.
And the kid was funny.
Yep.
And there's flashy scenes. But But that, to me, is not enough to sustain a movie anymore. I want a plot that makes sense.
I think that's what people have gotten used to, and so that's... In general, not everybody, not action features listeners,
no.
have not gotten to that point.
No.
But a lot of other people have, where it's just flash, bang, spectacle.
And that's good enough.
Spectacle. That's good. Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, I
didn't have to think for 2 hours.
And I know I rant sometimes about wanting comic movies to be like comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But I want them to still make sense. You know, I still want a plot that makes sense. I was looking so forward to seeing Mandarin and his rings, seeing Tony having to fight like a mystical enemy, a sort of a thing he doesn't understand, this alien, the alien technology of the rings or whatever, or mystical energy, whatever you want, whichever version you want to use. I wanted to see that so bad, seeing him just fight the Mandarin. And it was just totally taken away and became another sort of technology-based villain.
Right.
Just another one. And not a good one at that.
Yeah.
Very poor compared to the other two.
I have a problem with that, too. I'm so tired of that angle.
Yeah, it was very poor. I think it was definitely a step back for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I was very incredibly disappointed by it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You know how much I was looking forward to it.
You went and saw it that opening weekend.
Yeah, I was dying to see it.
I wanted to see it too. We were looking at all the... You were buying toys and everything. I mean,
I was ready, man.
You were ready for it.
I was ready for it.
You got let down.
I got super let down. Yep.
I got a lot of laughs, though.
Yeah. You were cracking up the day I told you about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, though.
All right, so next week will be the Star Trek rant.
Are you going to see it this week?
I'm going to see it this weekend, I think. I'm going to see it Saturday. Yeah. I mean, I know everything of the plot.
Oh, okay.
Because I had enough friends that told me about it. Plus, I mean, when you do a premiere like 3 weeks ago or whatever overseas, you can't go online. I go to Star Trek websites. That's what I do.
That's what you do.
I'm going to see
That's
stuff.
That's what you're known
because
for.
Because they didn't do a consolidated premiere. You know, it's...
That's what you're known for.
Yeah, that's what I'm known for. People know that I do that.
Just going on Star Trek websites.
All I do is go on Star Trek websites. All right, well, that's that. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. If you thoroughly enjoyed the film and you set this podcast, you're like, man, that James is a jerk. All he does is rant and complain. But it meant a lot to me, and I like Iron Man the character for a long time. So the film was really disappointing for me. And when you look forward to something that much and you get that, your feelings get hurt, you know? My feelings were hurt by the movie.
They sure were. It was like when Indy... It was like King of the Crystal Skull.
It felt like that all over again.
Crushed.
I was crushed by this film. And again, if you enjoyed it, that's great. I'm happy for you, and I'm glad you're able to enjoy the movie. It's not my type of film, and I really don't know how most people are able to enjoy it. But if you did, that's great. More power to you. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
No, certainly was not. That's not all you do. You don't always rant and rave.
I don't. There's been a lot of movies that I have enjoyed. I loved Jack Reacher just recently. I just said that at the beginning of the film. It may come across as if I don't like a lot of movies. It's just,
people tend to talk about things they don't like more than the things they do like.
Yeah.
But we spent a lot of time talking about things that we do like.
Two episodes on Batman.
Two full
Batman
episodes
Returns.
Of that.
Speaking of Batman,
Nate just sent me a text that said, they're doing a Batman Lego movie?
It came out Tuesday.
Did it?
Yeah, I'm going to buy it for the kids.
I guess he just saw it. I don't understand it. I know you like to buy it for the kids, but
mm-hmm.
I just don't understand it. I understand Batman Legos. I don't understand making properties based on toys that are based on other properties.
It's because of the games.
I don't understand the games either.
The games are fantastic.
I'm sure they are, but...
The Lego Batman, or all the Lego...
Do they involve building?
They kind of do.
That would be the only way that I could see that is if there's some.
Yeah, I mean, you have to build certain things in the game, and there's like challenges you have to go through and stuff like that, and different characters that have the different, you know, that they made Legos of or whatever.
Yeah.
The games are totally fun.
I'm sure they are.
They're a lot of fun. And I think this movie is based off the storyline from Lego Batman 2, the second Lego Batman game.
Oh, jeez.
So it's the movie, you know, you have those cut scenes in games. They've taken that and turned it into a full-length movie.
Yeah.
So it's basically the storyline played out as a movie.
Oh. Well, I still don't get it. I mean, I get it. I get what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's product.
Yeah.
They're moving product.
Yeah.
I understand it's fun. I don't understand why it's not just a regular Batman game, why it's a Lego Batman game. You know what I mean? Because Legos are like toys that are made to build and play with. Like, I wouldn't want a Batman movie that was action figures doing a movie.
I see what you're saying.
I don't really want that.
Here's the thing.
All right.
I think the thing of it is that it does incorporate the building thing into the game.
It has to.
It does.
Okay.
And I think it's in, you know, it's a brand recognition across brand. It's something they could tie all these properties into. Because there's Batman Lego, there's Hobbit Lego game, there's Spider-Man, or not Spider-Man, there's a Superheroes Lego game coming out, Star Wars Lego.
There's Indy.
There's all those brands that can tie into one thing and build it off one game engine.
Right.
And the characters are all the same characters with just different skins on that one character design.
Right.
But they can all have different powers and things like that. Plus, you know, I think it makes it easier to identify if you're a parent to go seeing a Batman game versus a game that says Lego Batman, you know that the Lego Batman is going to be appropriate
safe,
for kids.
Yeah.
Whereas it's tough to tell sometimes on other games if they're going to be safe for your kids or not.
Yeah, I can see that.
Those games are a ton of fun. Ton of fun.
Yeah.
They're fantastic games.
Legos are fun.
Legos are fun. Lego games are fun.
Hmm.
They're both fun.
I'm not sold on it. Maybe one day I'll have children.
Maybe one day you have children.
And they'll say...
Maybe one day you just try the game.
They'll say, we want Lego movies.
Yeah.
And I'll say, well, go ahead and build one.
Go ahead and build a Lego movie.
Build a Lego movie.
Build a Lego movie.
Stop
Sometimes you'll come over to the house and you'll play the Lego games with the kids.
I know it's going to be fun.
It is fun.
I know it's fun.
It's fun.
I know it's fun.
It's a ton of fun.
Okay.
All right, well, that's it.
That's that. We're...
I'm spent.
Yeah, I know you are. It's 50 minutes now, so we're...
That was like a half-hour rant.
It was. I knew it would be. I knew that wasn't going to be a concise thing.
I'm sorry if I walked all over you on that part.
Oh, you didn't? In what part?
Because you weren't able to input a lot.
No. I haven't seen the movie.
Okay.
I interjected quite a bit.
Okay.
To my liking.
I just don't feel like I'm running roughshod over the show.
You know? No, you're not roughshod.
Is that a statement? Running roughshod?
I think so.
Roughshod.
Yep.
I think it is.
Yep. You're quick with the quips.
I'm quick with the quips.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I ran with the rants.
You ran with it. So you can put that in your part.
Yep.
You can put that in
I'm not writing my part.
I'll write it, but
okay.
I'll put that in there.
Make sure it's all the good stuff.
Only the
my
good
part is the good stuff.
Only the good stuff.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Mm-hmm.
This has been James and Mike. Keep it real, yo, and keep it crunked up in your club. You know what I'm saying? This has been James and Mike, because we be...
jamming.
We're jamming.
We be jamming.
We're jamming, and
jamming.
Be sure to stay fresh.
Stay the freshest.
Stay fresh like Ziploc.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Action features.